Now, I mean, you got to, when you're walking with the Lord, the devil's always trying to get you some little nugget here, some little nugget there. Young folk, they don't need God. Oh, you don't know how you do need God. You know, but some little nugget in there, you know, to try to get God's people to come down off of the heavenly places. The Bible says that we are seated in heavenly places in Christ Jesus. Now, we can live as Christians and stay carnal. You can be born again and you can stay on a carnal level of living, which is a sad, discouraging, you know, nothing ever working out, nothing. And any little thing that don't work out, life just sucks to you. But you can live on a level, you can drink of those living waters, just like the parable has been coming forth, the word has been coming forth. The sower soweth the word. These are not new words. And if you've been in church any time at all, you have already heard these words. But there is times when God brings those words to life in a believer, in a season that is taking that person higher into the things of the kingdom of God. And so God don't want us living just to obtain. He wants us to have confidence while we obtain in Him. Some people live to maintain, just make it through life, week at a time, just barely getting by spiritually, just, you know, no joy, no peace. But I'm going to tell you, there's a place in God where joy will flow to you all the time. Now, there's things we have to do it. Some plant, some waters, but God gives them. We got to do some planting. We got to do some watering for God to give the increase. How do we do that? You're doing it this morning, coming to the house of God. Y'all sitting at home, listening to us on Facebook, there will come a time when you will wish you had have went to church. There will come a time when life just is not good to you. We are created by God. Whether you ever acknowledge Him or not, whether you ever acknowledge His Son or not, and there is a place in the heart of man that is made to worship Jesus. Worship God. And that is how come the world leaves people empty and sick and discouraged and poverty stricken when God has had the body of Christ, the church, since the book of Acts over there, started it up, birthed it up so that they could come together and get empowered by the Lord, tarry in Jerusalem, go up to the church house, whatever you want to call it, and get empowered. Get empowered. Somebody say, get empowered. He's going to do things different in this last day. Just like I'm not one to get up here, crank it up, and let's party down with off of the internet. But we just going to do it when God says it, right? We had little Christopher over there going wild. He's the one we needed. He's over there just dancing and dancing, got before the Lord in that song, just dancing, dancing. Oh, we don't need to let them kids get happy. Why not? They might show some of us grown-ups how to get happy. They might show some of us how to get out of the box, how to be kind of off the wall, so to speak. I was telling somebody the other day, telling them, I said, God's going to do some strange things in these last to the world and the church. I said, they're not going to be strange because God's not a strange God. I said, but you know, the religions that's sitting in church and got it all figured out and all that. I said, he's going to kind of shake their nerves a little bit. I said, for an example, I said, Jesus goes spits in the mud, puts it in somebody's eyes. I said, that's kind of weird. Why didn't he just be healed? Or the prophet tells him, go dip in the river, go dip in the Jordan 7 times and then go show yourself to the priest. He even got upset. He said, Mom, why don't you just pray for me? But God's going to show up in these last days, and He's going to ask us to do things, Johnny. I mean, I've heard, I was in a church that that we had people operating in the gifts of the Spirit. We do semi here every now and then. We have a kind of a moving of the Holy Spirit in different things. But I mean, man stops the service because God says it, and it said, I want you to crawl from the altar to the door back there. Crawl! An elder in the church who stopped the church, and the pastor says, well, okay, if the Lord told you, he called to the back there to the double doors, and there's a man sitting in the service that said, God, if you're really real, let somebody crawl. He went to church. He said, God, if you're really real, I'm going to give my heart to you. Let somebody crawl. I believe it was crawl to the altar, from the door to the altar. Either way. Brother Hale. He crawls, and that guy goes and runs to the altar and gives his heart to Jesus. In a service, and my pastor, the Lord told my pastor, I want you to do a cartwheel in there. You don't know my pastor. He's so stiff, if he raised his leg up, he'd fall over. And God wants him to run across with 150 people and do a cartwheel. I couldn't believe my eyes. I'm sitting there, I'm thinking, good God Almighty, this is our pastor. See, I was one of them, Johnny. I was one of them sitting there raised in a Baptist, Rick. Don't you wear shorts. You can't come through the door wearing shorts. I seen them stop people at the door. I went to revival. I never went back to that revival. Guy come in lost on drugs. I knew him. He's shooting up and all that. Somebody invited him to the revival. And they stopped him at the door because he had shorts on. And they told him, they said, you can't come in here. Not with shorts. This is church. Made me want to go in there and light that dead building up with a lighter, man, and burn it. That tradition of man, not out of the box, so to speak, that guy could have got born again that night. I seen one go that had a woman that had heard of it. I wasn't there, but they invited her to church. She hadn't never been saved or anything, and goes in there, gonna go to church, but she had blue jeans on, a pantsuit. Yeah, my sister-in-law. They wouldn't let her in the church. To my knowledge, she never went to church again. They would not allow her in that church. I can just imagine what John the Baptist looked like when he come out of the wilderness. Stinking. I mean, there ain't no water out there, man. Sweating in that desert. Have you ever been down to the homeless down there and never smelt the way they smell? You can't get it out of your nostril for 2 or 3 days. That's how awful it is. Those, you know. And I imagine, you know, this can't be God. He would be cleaned up. He wouldn't have slobber all in his beard. You know, locust and wild honey in his beard. I mean, what kind of man is this that calls himself God? I don't know where this is coming from, but y'all take it, whatever. Whatever God wants. Whatever he wants. We can't be religious. We can't be set in churchism, so to speak. We are the body of Christ. I mean, we are born of His Spirit, praise God, washed in the blood of Jesus. He said He is the Lion of the tribe of Judah. He is the bright and morning star. He is the Alpha and the Omega, the beginning and the... He said, I am. He's God. I'm believing God one time. I'm going to the jail. Now, look. Live to obtain, but do it with confidence. My marriage is getting better. Bless God, I got that word on it. Some say, well, I've got a divorce. Just don't worry about it. Just get yourself straight with God. Just stay there. If you ever enter into another relationship, don't let that same lying devil, don't let that same spirit get in there, because if it's with you, you carry it to the next relationship. If there's something in you, you carry it to the next one. If there's faith in you, you'll carry it to the next one. Right? I was at the bank, young girl that got down here at the bank now. She's, I don't know, they said, where's one of them said, where's Travis? He ain't stopped in to see me here lately. I said, he's been getting rest when he's off. Like that, you know. And she said, he's just something. I don't remember, said something, you know. And so I said, well, I said, you know, I said, he's a pretty fine young man now. I said, but back down there when they got married, I said they was getting married. I said, they didn't know how life was. They always lived under somebody that took care of life for them. I said, but now they're fixing to enter into life. I said, and this little young girl, she's there. I said, we're living in a time, I said, when young folk like you got life ahead of you, you know, and one day going to get married and all that stuff, you know. I said, and not realizing, you know, I said, kind of like you. I said, it would need to be the Lord if you hooked up with a guy that's already got a couple of kids. She's like, oh, yes. I probably wouldn't ever. I said, well, you just make sure you know, because even if you did, I said, look, I said, they go through, I said, in divorce, is rampant in this world that we live in, even if people get married anymore. I'm in the bank, man. I don't care if I'm in the bank or not. I'm going to do it publicly, and I'm going to do it privately. I'm not ashamed of the Lord, and I'm not ashamed to get people information that will get them to having a good life. But I told them, I said, now they got married, and now she's curious about their life now because I'm telling about it. I said, yeah, I said, my son called me up and told me after about the first time they bought groceries, Dad, groceries are high. first bill, wasn't it 40 or 50 bucks, man? It was cheaper back then. I mean, now he's spending $300 or $400. He can take it outside. Got two kids and wife and got him a house, and now you got to take care of all that, you know? And so caught the young lady's curiosity, you know? At what I was saying. I said, so, you know, I said, I told my son, you know, when you get married, this is a lifelong commitment, lifelong. Well, now there's people in there who had divorced and they're kind of sitting up there uptight. Well, y'all suck it up over there. We're talking to a newbie here that's just beginning. We don't know why you got divorced. We don't care. It's not about you and how you feel right now. It's about the generation behind us. If I get it wrong, I need to make it right with them. I need to have it right with them so that they know right, they know God, they know how to walk, and they don't go into it ignorant like the world teaches them. So I go on, you know, and I said, then they had to learn to live together. I said, they both ain't been living together. I mean, they got to learn how to share the TV. They got to learn how, you know, after the honeymoon, about a month. I said, there's been several times that we sat down with them, you know, and talked to them to keep them from getting a divorce. I said, as parents. I said, in the church, everybody, I'm in the bank preaching, man. I said, everybody needs a good church that they get good counsel in, because the world don't have it, and I wanted to say, and the bankers don't. But I didn't. I spared it. I said, I've been a pastor. I've been in ministry for 29 years. I said, and I have seen people follow God and be successful. And I've seen them halfway follow God and failed over half of their life. And I've seen them not follow God and end up, their life has been, they just made it, but they wasn't happy. Because so-and-so died, or because mama died, or because mama died, or because daddy died. And they live all their whole life without that living water. That living, flowing Spirit of God that gives you joy in the middle of all of this bad stuff that all of us have faced. You're not alone. The Bible says the same afflictions are happening to your brother in the world. Give me that scripture, Beth. But anyhow, she went on, she said, well, how are they now? She's got her curiosity going, man. She got ahead to hear the rest of the story. And I said, they're doing very well. Now, they may not feel like it at times. Because everybody has battles. Everybody goes through. Everybody has a devil assigned to you sooner or later. Everybody has the flesh to deal with. But this flesh is trainable. We can train it to serve God. We can train it to thank God. We can train it to talk about God. I've did it. You can train your flesh to go to church. I don't feel like it all. Come on over here to us warriors. Us warriors. And we will teach you how to have victory because you ain't got none. But God, I come by people's houses and we're singing that song and I pointed at their house because they'd come to church and ain't now. And I said, I ain't got time for you, devil. I'm telling him, get the hello off of their house. Just get the hello off. I said, hello. Ooh, see, some of y'all was like, oh, ooh. I'm not religious at all. Praise God. Well, I mean, get off of them. But God, they belong to us. They're our brothers and sisters. And we ain't got time for you, devil. We're not going to look at you right now and feel defeated as a church. We are victorious. And they coming from the north, the south, the east, and the west. Hallelujah. We're believing with confidence that he'll do what he said he'll do. Just read the scripture the other day where it said, it do not yet appear what ye shall be, but when he comes, ye shall be like him, for you shall see him as he is. Talking about revelation. See, I've got revelation that we are full. Well, you're just all about numbers. Yeah, and you ain't. All you care about is yourself and how you feel this morning, or you would be with your brothers and sisters wherever you're supposed to be hooked up, planted, and carried your little $10 this morning to help pay that light bill. Well, I'm on a fixed income. We all on a fixed income, sweetheart. The devil just ain't lying to some of us. We ain't fixed now. We take a fixed income and we give it to God and he unfixes it. He just opens it up. It says, for when God had made promise to Abraham, because he could swear by no greater, he swore by himself, saying, surely, blessing I will bless thee, and multiplying I will multiply you. And so after he patiently endured, he obtained the promise. This has been mine for years. God, I am going to endure in my marriage. God, I'm going to endure in my business. I'm going to endure with these cows. I'm going to endure with the church. I'm going to endure, God, because greater is he that is in me than he that I'm going to endure. Well, I ain't got no money. God, I'm not going to quit. I'm going to endure when people don't like me. I'm not a light guy everywhere like y'all do. And you, the more that you become like Jesus, the less you will be liked in some crowds. You will absolutely. I told Travis the other day, I said, you know what? And I've learned this through the Holy Spirit. I told him the other day, I said, look, I said, undiligent people will get on your nerves if you're diligent. And to those that are undiligent, diligent people get on their nerves. Because they demand getting something done. Time, the Lord told me, he said, the other day, he said, it was on account of these shingles, you know, that broke out. I let it slip in, Johnny. That garbage won't happen again. Bless God. I let that one slip in on me. Anyways, I've heard the statement, you know, that time is against you. You're dying. Time is your enemy. And God told me, he said, son, he said, did you know that time is for you? He said, time works for you. He said, and then I thought, I wonder how that happens. He said, you decide to go to work at 8 o'clock instead of 9. He said, so you're taking advantage of time. He said, you choose to go put your swimming pool up when other people's got a swimming pool and they just can't find themselves time to do it. He said, you put your swimming pool up. He said, so time works for you to your advantage. That's why he told me, manage my time. Just manage it. Manage time. What does that mean? Well, whatever you're supposed to be doing, just do it. If you're supposed to be washing dishes, don't get lazy on it. Manage your time. I just imagine, Johnny, how I wouldn't like to stay. I go in there and Teresa's just folding clothes. Just folding clothes. And I'm sitting there watching her one time and I thought, that must be the most boring job you could have. 38 years we've been married. And she's folding them clothes every day. I should wash them every day. Yeah, if it don't pile up. Then you got to work overtime 2 days to get caught up when you could have just took some time one day and then, you know, did a little here and there. Don't let it pile up. See, now this wasn't in my sermon. But we are a victorious church. And those that are linked to us, they may not know how to be victorious yet, but we carrying the torch, man. I mean, we're not... Praise the Lord. But he said here, after they had patiently endured, he obtained the promise. Now, when you're going through things, sickness, disease, whatever, attacking, finances, you got to be able to endure. You got to be able to endure the word. The Bible says, by Jesus' stripes I'm healed, and your body's aching. Don't start saying your body's aching. Don't start singing that negative tune, nobody knows, so you're not enduring. He said, surely blessing I will bless thee, multiplying I will multiply thee. And after he patiently endured, he obtained what he said he would do for him. I'm a wealthy man today. How much money you got? I don't know. I just don't keep up with it. That's not my game. That's multiplying, I will multiply. That's what I'm on. I'm not even concerned about what's going on over there. Teresa, she's the keeper of all of that. If I don't want her to spend money, she wants to finish painting the house, but she wants me to jack the floors up. So I figured out how to save money. I just ain't jacking the house up. She's going to pay somebody. See, now she's getting smart, so I got to go jack the house up. Because now it'll lose money. Got to level the wall, the floors. But you know what? You can't spend too much money with the things of the Lord on yourself, never. Books are the most important thing you could get after you're born again, the Bible number one. I read them little books from Kenneth Hagin and all of them, and they are, you can't buy time with these guys. They ain't got time, but you can buy their book for $5. And you can get 5 hours of their life for $5. People tell me, don't listen to, have you seen Kenneth Copeland's eyes? Little beady, devilish looking eyes. He looks like the devil. Boy, he can get out on the runway and command that storm to not take nothing from him, and it has to go off of that runway. Jesus didn't look like they thought he would look. Nope. Come down there and he starts his ministry. They've been building tents with him or whatever they're doing. Here comes that gift. It was time. 30 years old, Jesus. Here comes the Holy Spirit. It's time, son. It's time to start your ministry. The Bible says he goes down to his own and his own received him not. He can come to somebody's house and he can say, some Christian's house, I want you to give $50,000 to the church. And they're like, I bind you, Satan, in the name of Jesus. Or I want you to buy Brother Scotty a Corvette. No, because he'd just give it to D. Told the Lord one time I had $10 to my name, my allowance, and it was in the middle of the week. I'm going down the interstate. I'm down below Malfunction Junction, headed down to Alabaster, hauling some material down there. And there's this wino on the side of the road. And I'm fixing to pass him, and the Lord spoke to me, and he said, I want you to give him that $10. And I said, God, that's all I got. Man, I mean, I've got nothing to eat the rest of the week. You know, this is what I've got to eat on the rest of the week, $10. And it was in here like that living water. I'm like, I got to give it. So I got off the next exit, and then my mind said, he's a wino, and he's going to go drink that up in wine. He ain't going to buy nothing to eat. He had it out there work for food. He ain't working. He's lying. Sitting there, man, begging for my money. What are you going to do, work on the side of the road? Are you serious right now? It's going to work. But it wasn't nothing to do with that guy. It had nothing to do with that guy. You know what? I said, God, I know this is you. I hadn't been serving him about a year. It takes people 20 years to hear the Lord. I don't believe it. You get that scripture in there where it says, my sheep hear my voice and another they will not follow. You won't have to wonder what God's voice is. Get it in there, meditate on that, chew that, plant that, water that. God will give the increase. He'll open you up to faith, that scripture, to where you'll be like, yep, this is the way. Every job I go on that I'm not sure, I look on the inside and I say, what do I charge? And instantly, poof, number comes up. Don't you tell me you can't hear him? Well, you're a preacher. No, I'm not out there. I'm just in here. I'm Scotty out there. I'm living life like you. I endeavor to be led by the Spirit of God. I endeavor to stand on the Word of God. And just because, some people think that preachers don't have to fight the good fight of faith. They have two more. I believe they have two more. You know what? I give that guy that $10. And I told him, I said, Jesus told me to give you this $10, Jesus. He looked at me and said, Jesus? I said, Jesus. I said, Jesus just happened to have me coming down this way today. Jesus just happened to have me in a truck that I could get off and get back on. You know what? All that week, people brought me biscuits for breakfast. Somebody gave me a hamburger for lunch that day. I mean, he said he would supply all of our needs, right? Out of obedience. I thought, God, I'm eating better than the $10. I mean, I eat better than the $10. And I thought, well, I ain't got no drink. Pulled up on the job, and I was like, man, I ain't even got a drink. Pulled up on the job, and the guy walked over, and he said, hey, son. He said, I got a good deal on some Cokes over yonder. Well, wherever he said. He said, the cooler's full of good cold Cokes. He said, go grab you one. I thought, glory to God, Jesus showed up here. I went and got me a good old cold drink, colder than what you can get out of the ice box in the store. Ice down. We're going down the road one morning. See, now, when you're believing God with confidence, you're not just believing Him to pay all your bills. You done got past that. You're in a little deeper water now. You're like God, I'm not gonna be concerned about finances. I'm not gonna get on this low level fighting here. I'm gonna go on. Use me, God. Lord, let today be a day that you use me, God. I'm gonna keep my mind on you today. And I'm going down the road and I'm singing. I'd read the scripture where the Apostle Paul said, singing, making melody in your hearts to the Lord. Psalms, hymns, singing, making melody in your hearts to the Lord. And so I made up my mind. I thought, tomorrow, Lord, I'd read that night, and I thought, tomorrow, I'm going to do this. I'm going to do what this Bible says right here. So I get to work, and it didn't feel good. I didn't want to be at work, and you know, all of that stuff. And so I get in the truck, and I thought, bless God, I guess this is what faith is. I guess this is what walking by faith is. It's not by how you feel. No, because I don't feel like singing. I don't feel like doing it. But I'm singing. I just set out, and I'm singing what songs I'd learned at church, you know, and I'm just singing and all of that stuff, you know. And the last job, I pulled up on the job, and they on Friday, I guess, and they'd done got drunk, man, these dudes, you know, and fixing to leave. It was late. It was about 3:30, and I'd unloaded some interior doors, and I'm standing there, and I'm putting the ropes up and tying the ropes up that held the doors up, you know. And these guys walked up to the back of the truck, and I'm just singing to the Lord, you know. and that one of them says, "We want this lumber." I had one more stop, and it was a deck package, you know. "We want this lumber right here." I looked at him, and I said, "Well, you can't have that lumber." I said, "That lumber, I got one more stop, and that lumber's going to that other stop, you know." And I thought he was kidding, really. And then he looked at me, and he said, "We gonna get that lumber." Then I looked at him, and I thought, he's serious. And I thought, man, he ain't got a bar in here or nothing. And I'm thinking now, man, if I was in that boom truck, I had them tie-down bars. You know, you won't take nothing. But I didn't have nothing in there but ropes. You know, and all of a sudden, I'm looking at him, and he says that, and I have this consciousness that he's serious. And then I just look back, and then when I come to myself, I was saying, "And the Lord will send angels with a flaming sword." It was coming out of my mouth, and I thought, what did I just say, man? You know, and I look, and these guys are looking past me. It was a 24-foot box truck. And I looked, you know, and they're looking up past me, and I'm like, and I mean, they're just like, had this shocked look on their face. And I'm like, man. I look back, and I didn't see nothing, Johnny. And when I look back, those guys were running. I heard the car crank, and I've never seen them guys again. And I thought, man, what just happened, you know, man? You know? And then later on, I just forgot about it. I thought, well, maybe, you know, just dumb or whatever. And so I just kept on singing, you know, and all of that stuff, you know. And I was reading that night or the next night, I was reading in the book of Revelations where it says, and he'll send angels with a flaming sword taking vengeance on those that know not God and those that obey not the gospel. And when I got to that and read that, I was quickened to that. And God said, "They seen my angels." He said, "I told you in Psalms 91, the angels of the Lord encamp around about those that fear me and reverence me." He said, "Those angels protected you." See, we got angels. They are ministers to the heirs of salvation. You know who that is? Me and you. They are ministers sent forth to minister to us. There's a scripture, I thought maybe that was the next one, but Hebrews 10:35 maybe. Yeah. "Cast not away therefore your confidence, which hath great recompense of reward. For you have need of patience that you have, after that you've done the will of God, you might receive the promise." And the Lord spoke to me this morning. When I had this right here that I was going to finish up Wednesday night, didn't get to it. But the Lord spoke to me, and he said, and I thought, no, we can't cast our confidence away. He said, "What about them that don't have none?" I thought, well, I hadn't thought about that. So if you're here and you don't have confidence, how you get confidence is you get in that Bible and you start praying and you start seeking the Lord. You start talking to the Lord. You spend time with the Lord. You turn off WZZK and you turn off 107 point whatever the junk is, and you turn on some good spirit-filled music that will minister to you and water and bring confidence, because let me tell you something, the things of this world will not give you confidence in the battles that are spiritual, but the spiritual things will give you confidence, which is faith in the supernatural matters. That's why I like that song, "I Ain't Got Time For You, Devil." I preached that here, not that right there, but he's under your feet. And I've told you once, I've told you a million times, I'll tell that devil all the time, you want to bring it to my table? Bring it, bud. I don't say that stupidly. I'm not scared of him. I want him to bring it. Just bring it. Bring it to my marriage, and you see if I don't do like Johnny did. I mean, the dude, he looked like a white boy. He fasted so much, come in, I thought, I'm going to have to bring one of them garage door ropes, tie his pants up. That dude fasted so much, I think he was turning white. It's funny now, but it wasn't funny, was it, Johnny? No, you was in the middle of your battle, but you wasn't backing down. I mean, you're going forward, you're fasting, but look what happened. You might still be under a little quarter of attack right now, but that's okay. Just keep doing what you've done before. Don't cast your confidence away. The reward comes. The marriage gets straightened out. But you know what? You can't sit back and not do nothing and expect different results. If you want your body healed, but God, I'm telling you, I am a witness. I am one walking witness. They can't nothing kill me. Arthritis done tried to get me, and I kicked it out of my house. Bless God, I mean, people telling me, that arthritis shoots up into your arm. I mean, good Lord, and it did. It locked my arm up. I think it was arthritis. And I thought, no wonder Mom had them arthritis pills. Good God Almighty, if I had this right here, I'd have to take some arthritis pills too. And I thought, I got something greater than arthritis pills. I've got the Word of God. The Bible said healing is my food, my bread. I told Shingles, I said, you got the wrong one here, homie. I said, you know what? I might not be able to sit down right now good on my hiney because you slipped in on me. I might have to bandage my leg up to go to church and sit down. I'd rather stand up than sit down. But I kept telling you, drying up at the roots, just like Jesus spoke to that fig tree, I spoke to them shingles, and I said, you will not bear fruit in me. You will not. I curse you at the roots, and I command you to die. And then every time I felt it, I didn't say nothing contrary to what I said. I expected those to dry up. They're nearly dried up in a week and a half. And they said 6 to 8 weeks. I'm not a normal man. You ain't a normal woman. You're not a normal man or woman. We're supernatural beings. We have supernatural power over. Don't talk to them demons. Don't talk to them. Just don't talk to them. Don't do no warfare with them. Don't do it. You take authority over them. You tell them to shut up. And you tell them to get under your feet, and when they try to talk to you again, you tell them, I don't talk to you. I ain't got time for you. You do the things that the Bible says. You cast out devils. They want to make you believe you can't cast them out. Therefore, you can't. The Bible says in Luke 9:23, I believe it, Mark 9:23, all things are possible to them that believe. And he's actually talking about demons in that context of that. He said, and these can come by fasting and praying. Take you a day, and you fast, and you pray. And then at the end of the day, you get up and you declare, and you don't talk to them again. That's your choice. God's just released you to do that. Hallelujah. You see, because we believe with confidence. Paul, give me that scripture where Paul, Romans, is it, wherever it's at. If you can believe, Beth, put it up there, not anymore. All things are possible to him that believes. Corinthians. It's Corinthians, please. Know ye not, they which run in a race run all. Everybody running. But one receives the prize. So ain't but one going to receive the prize. Natural, he's talking about natural here. We all go sign up for 30-yard dash. Some of us wouldn't make it. I'd have to work out. There ain't but one going to win that 30-yard dash. But he said, and every man striveth. He said, so run that you may obtain. I'm going to win it. If I'm going to sign up, I'm going to win it. Whether I do or not, I'm going that way. That's what Paul was talking about. He said, every man that strives for mastery is tempered in all things. You've got to keep your tongue under control about how you feel and how the way things feel and what you want to say. We went on vacation last year. And Teresa got about as mad as I've ever seen her while I was on vacation. Burnt my vacation for a couple of days. And nearly. But she made up her mind. Now that woman right there, she's made a man out of me, her and Jesus. And it's because I chose to stay. And I chose to fight. And I chose to... But she lived sad as a Christian for years. Are you a happy Christian or a sad one? Mad. And when you're mad, you're sad. When you're mad, you're oppressed. When your feelings are hurt and mad, then you're discouraged. You're in unbelief. You'll be in fear. You'll be in all those things that makes us miserable. Because the Bible says that the joy of the Lord is our strength. The fruits of the Spirit, Galatians 5:22, is in us. And we got to let them be the factor that moves us. Love, joy, peace, long-suffering, temper, faithfulness, gentleness. He says, and every man that striveth for a mastery is temperate in all things. You got to be self-controlled. You got to, if you're going to fast, you got to do it. I was starving when I got up. Do it! Temperate. Temperate. He says, this is why. He says, temperate and all the... Now they do it to obtain a corruptible crown, a prize, a trophy. He said, but we do it for an incorruptible, supernatural stuff. Not the natural, the kingdom. Paul said, I therefore so run, not as uncertainly. So I fight, not as one that beats air. So the Apostle Paul said, I'm not going to do this thing just hoping maybe that my marriage will get better. Hoping maybe that we'll have enough money to meet all the... Hoping maybe that them demons won't talk to me. Hoping maybe. No, he said, I do it to win. He said, I do it to win. See, I mean, I got beat up one time thinking, you know, pull your shirt off and, you know, and I could have took all three of them. I really believe it. I mean, my mind is telling me, come on, you know, just get them. Kick one of them where it hurts and bust the other's teeth out and then catch him right in the middle when you go through them both while they're falling. You know, I mean, that's the way I thought, you know. And so I thought, well, you know what, I'm a bad boy. Pull your shirt off. All of us had to rip our shirt. I couldn't rip it off, Johnny. You know, I wasn't that strong, man. I'm a little big guy. So instead of ripping it off like I'd seen some of them do, you know, I'm pulling it off. Well, when I got it on my head, there they come. And I mean, they all three tacked me while I had my shirt on my head. They beat me up. Well, they knew they better beat me up because they knew me. And you know, I'm fixing to take all of y'all three. They come three now. You know, didn't come one anymore. Just come on three of you. But you know what? See, that was ignorant, Johnny. And when I got up, I mean, I'm like, y'all, come on. I'm beat up. Y'all, don't throw them out. Come on. It's fair now. Oh, you're bloody, man. I don't care. Well, that's the way Paul was. That's the way we are. We got that greater one on the inside of us. We might take a licking, but we keep on ticking. We're better than a Timex, but God, I mean, we are supernatural explosion all the time whenever we're walking in faith. And I mean, the enemy's on the run. He's in the phone booth dialing 911. He's in trouble because they're not in phone booths anymore. They didn't think about that. Devil's on the cell phone. There wasn't no cell phones back then, Johnny. They would have come up with it, praise the Lord. That was old Mike Perkinem, Praise-a-thon. Some of these songs we're singing is what I would, we in the house. That's how come Travis, he's in the house, boy, and he's dancing around, and he's running around the coffee table like he's on fire. Hallelujah. We got 24/7 preaching going on in that house. Then Mid Teresa kind of gets away from the Lord, let her candle go out a little, quit going to church. Don't tell me you won't backslide if you quit going to church. The devil done got you backslid, deceived, hallelujah. Already got you deceived. Now I'm all right. No, you ain't all right. You are not all right. If you was all right, you'd be casting out devils. You'd be healing the sick. You'd be going forth with joy, laughing unspeakable. It's about to get on him. Teresa been laughing all week. Couldn't talk. Go through the house. I'm like, good Lord, just get on me, Lord. Get on me. Let it pour off on me, Lord. She can't even say nothing without laughing. Ever since last Sunday. Then she gets attacked a little bit, and she said, I ain't got time for you, Dad. She can't even say it, and she's still saying it. I ain't got time for you, devil. Well, she didn't feel like it. She's been attacked. She's been attacked. Then I heard her say, I ain't got time to come down on that level, devil. I ain't going to fight these low-level devils, this flesh, the way I feel and all that. I'm not coming down fighting in that realm. I'm staying in the heavenlies. I'm staying in the high places, hallelujah. So don't fight that you might win, hope it gets better. Nah, you fight to win. Bless God, my house is going to pay it off. I laid hands on mine, talked to it, till I think that brick knew me coming, knew I was coming. Here he comes, here comes his hand. Same brick every time for year, year after year, month after. I wore that brick out. I wore it out till I wore the debt out. I come in debt free. I believed it for years. Now I'm here. Told the Lord the other day, and I said, I said, Lord, they'd like everything out here, and I don't want nothing. He said, I told you I'd bring you to a place to where you didn't want nothing, didn't I, if you'd serve me. Thought about these teeth. I paid $6,000. I thought, well, I could leave it for my grandchildren. I thought, my grandchildren ain't going, I'm not going to look ugly, and my grandchildren blow my money later. Bless God, I'm getting fixed up, man. Hallelujah. My grandkids better learn to get their own money, right? Hallelujah. I know we're supposed to leave an inheritance, but not much. I'm going to use it while I'm here. He didn't say how much, did he? Teresa told Travis, said, now look, she said, now look, when I'm gone, when Dad's gone, we're gone. You give them kids an acre of land each, because we're going to leave them an acre of land each. And then he's messing with her, you know. She told me, she said, maybe we better do it. Because he ain't going to give them. Because he's like, it's according to how they're acting. He ain't going to live beside me and act like a little heathen. And that's the way he was. He's different now. He got a hold up there and got right and got some things going on in his life. And then he's like, my little heathen kids ain't going to live beside me if they ain't acting right. And I'm like, well, you know, I mean, that's the way we felt. My mom told you better go down the road, find you some land down there and move. Now he's like, no, they're going to have to act right. And we're like, wait a minute. The table's turned, huh? But I want to encourage you. Don't just live to obtain Live to obtain with confidence that God is going to bring you to the destiny. Whatever you're believing God for, each one of us on different levels. I believe I'm going to take off tomorrow. Bless God, I just believe I'm going to take off of work tomorrow, Johnny. I'm going to call in sick. 5 minutes till 7, I'm going to send him. He's 10 minutes late the other day. What was it, 5? 7. It was 7. 7 minutes late, and I'm up there, and I'm pacing backwards and forwards, and Keith, he's going. And I was like, yep. I guess if you can't get here on time, get here when you can. I can't, Keith. Yeah, I was early. I said, well, I know it. I said, but that's not good. I said, you know, I told him, I ought to start charging him for your time. Okay, he said, why? And I told him a story. My brother, one time, we was in business together, and these guys showing up late every day, Johnny. 25, 30 minutes, you know. They call you, but they're still late. So the ones that they're going on, the trucks that was set out for them to go on, well, the guys had to wait. So come that Friday, he comes to me, and my brother comes to me, and he said, I'm doing payroll today. I said, well, that's fine. I'm glad you are. I have to do it every week, you know. So he goes in there, and he had wrote down 30 minutes late for this one and this one. And, you know, all week long, it was 2 or 3 hours. And so he took it off of their check. And these guys wrote their hours down. They made sure they got their hours, you know. And so he paid them. One of them said, hey, I'm 2 hours short. He said, no. He said, no, you're not 2 hours short. He said, I charged you for everybody having to wait on you. Well, I was only late 30 minutes, but it ended up 1.5, 2 hours, all these guys waiting on me. So I took their time out of your pay. Them dudes quit running late, Johnny. I mean, bless God, they got there 2 or 3 till. And they'd be like, can you add 3 minutes to my paycheck? You know they're 3 minutes early now. And so I told Keith, I said, he's going to feel funny when I charge him. Charge him for this 14 minutes here a week. But he needs to run to go to work at 7. Right? Run the race. Hand of the diligent bears rue. You know what that means? I told him one day, I said, you know what? I'm going to close with this. I said, you know what? I think that you're doing it on purpose. I said, because you know me, Keith's going to be loaded up and everything's going to be on the truck and, you know, you just get in. Hey, guys. Because we're there 4 or 5 minutes early and we're already unloading scissor lifts and, you know, and getting her done. I said, and he said, nah, I'm not. If you are, don't tell me. But you know what? Enjoy life, man. These battles are nothing. Enemy attacks, they're nothing. Their only time is in your favor if you utilize it, praise God. Let's bow our heads. Father, we praise you and thank you.